You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where I can't wait to talk to you about that hot new platformer game everybody's been talking about. That's right, Bubsy. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. And if you guys don't mind, I'd like to just go ahead and get mine out of the way first.
The people want to hear about Bubsy, though.
I know, the people, they got to know about Bubsy.
Those Woolies, they're striking back.
Yeah, they sure are. But no, my first check it out. Over the weekend, I got to catch a very popular action/comedy set in space following a ragtag group of disparate people going up against a world-shattering enemy. There's action, there's comedy, there's even a larger-than-life sidekick character that could be both funny and nervous. That's right, I'm talking about Spaceballs, the classic Mel Brooks film. No, I had a chance to go down to the Gateway Film Center down in Columbus, and they had an original film print of it.
Oh.
So they had the film grain and everything. Yeah, super, super nice. I love Mel Brooks films. I think they're the best, and I really, really enjoy Young Frankenstein is like number one. It's got to be number one for me. But Spaceballs is like a very close
second. Agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'd forgotten how much I absolutely loved that movie. I mean, it was just so good. It, like, everyone was firing on, like, all cylinders during that film. And just some of the jokes, I don't know. That just, I don't know how to explain it. Just go out and watch it. It's a good movie. Just go see it. I hope.
Comb the desert for a theater near you playing
that's,
it.
That's it. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. But no, I hope they do that second one. You know, they teased it, and they've been talking about it every once in a great while. And I think what's really holding them up is Rick Moranis. You know, he got out of acting. I don't think he wants to come back. And you can't do it without Dark Helmet.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Man, Rick Moranis, stop holding up movies coming back.
Yeah, yeah. What else is he holding up?
Wasn't he part of the reason Ghostbusters was held up for so long before they decided to just make a completely different
one? Yeah, you know what? I think you're right about that. Yeah.
He wasn't the complete reason, but he was definitely,
one part of them.
Of it.
Yep.
Part of the variables in the equation that made Ghostbusters 3 not a thing.
Yeah, true. Very true.
And now I don't want a Ghostbusters 3. I don't think Dan Aykroyd can write a good one.
Well, without all four of the team there,
it's just
not the same. And you know, Bill Murray's not gonna if he does show up in it, he's not gonna put his heart into it because he doesn't care.
It's gonna be about as good as his cameo in Ghostbusters 2015.
Yeah, was that a couple years ago?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh,
2015.
Wow, so. It probably had to have been late 2015, wasn't it? Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I like that. I don't want to trash on that movie, though, because I liked it enough.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I liked it. Fine. Sure. The other thing I checked out, and we all kind of checked this one out. Do we want to go ahead and talk about
Bubsy.
Mario? Bubsy. Let's talk about Bubsy. God, I love that Bobcat.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong, right?
Oh, no.
No, I mean, I did play the new Bubsy game that came out on Halloween for some reason.
Okay, what is Bubsy?
He's a bobcat from the 90s, and a sad attempt to emulate the success of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Specifically the Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original game.
Well, that too.
Just, yeah.
That's what, yeah.
It's like Sonic if it was bad.
Yeah.
Well, worse.
Yeah. But not intentionally bad, just a bad game.
And we all thought he was lost to time for good reason. But, of course, they dug up Bubsy's...
He rose from the grave.
Yeah, they dug up Bubsy's corpse to make a new game. You know, this is a chance to redeem him, I guess. But they didn't. It's real bad.
It's like they doubled down on the bad.
Yeah, and you can't tell if, like, well, is this the joke that the game's bad?
Well, if the joke was that the game was bad, the game should have been
$10. Yeah.
So everyone could play the joke instead of... Well, I'll tell you what the biggest thing was. I think they saw the, what was it, Bubsy 3D, that fake MMO Bubsy game that the guys who did Sonic...
Dream Collection.
Sonic Dreams Collection.
Like Bubsy visits some art installation thing that was hilarious.
Yeah, I think what they saw was like, hey, this is a thing that happened like 4 years ago. Perfect timing. Strike while the iron is cold. So, yeah.
The weirdest thing about it, they gave him a new move that's called, it's a pounce move.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like Sonic's homing dash without the homing.
Yeah.
So you just basically, you hit a button and Bubsy just slings himself across the screen in a completely uncontrollable and unpredictable fashion.
Just like Bubsy. Yeah. Uncontrollable and unpredictable.
But that's one of the main gameplay mechanics. God. Is a button that makes you lose control of the character more or less. Also, he can glide, which is weird because he's a bobcat. And
well, like all bobcats, they can glide.
Glide through the air.
Yeah. With the greatest of ease.
And they just throw yarn balls everywhere.
Yeah.
And they want you to get them all. And it's like, I'm not wasting my time. I played two levels of this game and then I was like, I don't need to do this to myself.
Well, hey, jumping off of that onto like an actual good
jumping.
Yeah. A good game. Yeah. Jumping. There we go. We all played Super Mario Odyssey. Yeah.
That just came out on like the 27th.
Yep. And
November.
I'm already through it for the most part.
Me too.
Yeah. But that's not because it's a very short game. It's because it's a very good game.
Oh, yeah. You'd just be telling yourself like just one more moon and then then I'm done. And then it's 5 and then it's 10 moons.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very much in the spirit of like a Mario 64 or a Mario Sunshine if you mixed it with maybe Breath of the Wild.
A little bit, yeah. The stages aren't full-blown like maps like the Breath of the Wild. The Breath of the Wild map was humongous.
Yeah, the levels aren't as big as, honestly not as big as I thought they would be.
Yeah, same here. But no, they're very, very good. They have moons just hidden, God, everywhere.
Everywhere.
All over the place. And the story, believe it or not, I kind of really like the story.
Yeah, for a Mario game, it's very good and very clever and fun.
I never thought I would play a game that involved Bowser being overly worried about his wedding.
Yeah.
Everything had to be perfect, so he had to steal everything to make his wedding perfect. That's very weird. It's a weird idea for a game.
The whole game is really weird, and it revels in that weirdness
yes.
in a fun way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But no, I like the additions to like the whole planet of Earth, that like the Mushroom Kingdom isn't just the only thing on that planet that is similar to Earth but isn't Earth. And it's weird. I think New Donk City is my favorite
world
out of the bunch. It's clear that they spent the most time on that one. But it's weird because all of the each land has a different set of inhabitants. Like the Lunch Kingdom, they're all like sentient forks that run around, and then you have, like...
Toast Arena, where they're all
Sugar Skull
people.
Yeah. And New Donk City, they're all 1950s businessmen and women.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's... I love how the game treats them like they're just as weird and out there as Sugar Skull people or Toads.
Because they kind of are in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
They know it's weird and they're running with it, which is what makes it better than like in a Sonic game where there's human people.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I love it. I think it's great.
They look and sound kind of like Sims.
A little bit, yeah.
Characters.
Even more so the Cappy. Any of his dialogue sounds exactly like Simlish.
Yeah.
It sure does. But no, I just love the new cap mechanic and the possession mechanic. I think that's really clever.
Yeah. It opens up a lot of really fun gameplay opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish there wasn't a constant tutorial on the bottom of the screen telling you what buttons do what.
That drives me nuts.
They really want you to use the motion controls.
Boy, do they.
I mean, and you can get through the whole game without using them, but...
They really want you to.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of moons that you can't get without using motion control. Like, there's one where you have to do the frog with the high jump.
Yeah.
But you can't reach the moon unless you use the shake the controller super high jump.
Which is hard to do when you're playing in handheld mode where you have to just shake the free and
the
whole
console. You just shake the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, man. But no, I really enjoy it. I think it has a bunch of post-game content, which is really, really good and satisfying. The ending was incredibly satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the ending gets pretty buck wild.
I love that ending. I love it so much. And the song that they play for that final thing, like, really hit my sweet spot. I don't know what it is. I'm a sucker for 90s kind of.
It kind of sounded like a Sonic song.
A little honestly. Bit. It sounded like, a little bit like a Sonic song, but it also sounded like something that would have been in the live-action Josie and the Pussycats movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I those kind of.
I bought the soundtrack to that movie on vinyl the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very good album, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has some good songs on it.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. It's because it knows, like, it's like pointing fun at how, like, product placement-y and stuff it is. And that's cool. It's very self-aware. But no, Mario Odyssey, really, really, really good. I'm over 500 moons into it, which is a lot.
I've got 500 moons, and then you unlock another level, and it's really hard, and I've gotten frustrated, and I've played it a lot less.
Yes. Well, I've decided I'm going to wait and let that moon be the last one I get. I'm going to do everything else, and then that one.
My brother is already 100% of the game.
Of course he has. I'll probably get close this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'll probably sit down and knock out another, you know, couple hundred moons and get really close. So
I think once I finish that last level, I'm done.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Nintendo games, did you hear that they're going to be releasing some more DLC stuff for the Breath of the Wild?
More than just the...
Like today, as of Thursday, when we record, there's going to be a DLC side quest that unlocks a Breath of the Wild version of, like, Rey, the main character from Xenoblade Saga 2's costume.
Huh.
I sent a picture of that on the...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
On the thing. Yeah.
I didn't know there was a quest to go along with it.
Yeah, it's like
it.
A little side quest that they're going to throw in, just kind of hold you over until the second DLC.
Which should be coming any day now.
Any day
I'm
now.
Assuming.
My amiibos are on their way. I forgot I ordered them. Whoops. But
I've seen the new amiibos.
Mm-hmm.
They're just all right.
Yeah.
They look like the Smash Brothers ones.
Oh, really?
Kinda. What do you think? You saw them too.
They're all right.
I wish Urbosa didn't have that big pillar that shoots right up between her legs.
Yeah.
It looks bad. And I just wasn't super enamored with them.
Mm. Well, that's a shame because I have to get them.
I mean, they don't look as good as, like, Wedding Mario and Peach and Bowser do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's my check 'em outs. You guys have? I'm guessing you guys have plenty.
We saw Thor, but I guess we're going to wait till next week to talk about that one when Josh is here.
When Josh is here and our listeners have more of a chance to see it.
Yeah. I will say, though, that I thought it was fantastic and you should probably go see it.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
Let's see. What have we done in the last 2 weeks that we could talk about?
Had some horror movies, probably.
Oh, we did.
At least the end of
Yeah, that's
Halloween.
Right. We didn't get to finish the end of our
October.
Halloween extravaganza. Pull up the list. Well, first of all, we saw Night of the Living Dead, but with riff tracks.
Oh, cool. Okay. Was it fun? Did it add to it?
Yeah, good. It was super fun. They did a good job.
Good.
Like they usually do.
Yeah.
Made a pretty good beating off zombies joke.
Yeah. We watched Death Spa.
Ooh,
that was a good one.
That's a very good one.
That's
Death Spa. Is that the one with the guy who played Captain Kirk's son from the Star Trek movies?
Yeah.
Where they had the ghost of the woman who...
May or may not have possessed the dude.
The dude. And the spa was like all run by computers, and yet that was supposedly what was causing all the problems. But like, did the computers control... like tiles flying off the walls.
That was funny because it made me think of Zelda.
A little bit. Yeah.
But that movie was a hilarious, schlocky.
Oh, it's great.
Just wonderful piece of garbage.
It sure is. It sure is. How about that scene where that lady in a wheelchair immolates herself and then as she's on fire, magically regains her ability to walk. She like stands up and flops around. Even though her legs were supposed to be, like, not working or whatever. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a great classic
film.
It was
a hilarious
film. Yeah.
It was right up there with
Chopping Mall.
Mm-hmm. And apparently people in the 80s were just terrified of technology.
Scary stuff.
We watched... They Look Like People, which was the most generic indie movie you could imagine.
It sounds like it.
It was about a guy who thought that, what was his problem?
Well, he's hearing voices and getting calls telling him that
monsters were coming and that they look like people and they're infecting people.
Like monsters were infecting people and he knew.
But it was
he was
all...
going to have to kill people.
Was he only good at two things, kicking butt and eating sweet tarts, and he was all out of sweet tarts?
No, that's a good movie. It was an all right movie. It was just okay. So generic.
Yeah.
Like the power of friendship basically hits him over it because his friend kind of indulges him in his insanity enough to where he realizes that, whoa, this is not real.
Mm.
And it's just generic.
Oh, so
movie.
It turns out that there were no monsters or aliens. It was just the guy's crazy.
Yeah.
God, that's such a...
I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. Like, is he crazy? Or
That's a super lackluster turnaround.
Yeah, it was.
Like, ugh.
We watched Sinister.
Okay.
Which was...
I think it wins the award for making you jump and...
Yeah, that was chock full of jump scares. It's a relatively recent horror movie about a true crime writer that moves into a house where a family all got killed. All got hung in the tree in the backyard.
Oh, boy.
And he finds a bunch of, like, snuff films in his attic that are really creepily and well done, well
That's
shot.
That's probably your favorite part.
Yeah, they're totally creepy, skin crawly. But in the end, it takes a soup.
Don't spoil it, but.
It takes kind of a supernatural turn that is kind of stupid, and it would be a better movie if it was just, like, about a serial killer.
Yeah.
Instead of what it was about, which was ridiculous.
Ah, okay.
So maybe, like, the first hour was really good, and then the last 20 minutes is just like, oh, really?
They really underestimate, although they really think, like, the a kid doing, like, the face with the finger to the mouth is super scary and creepy.
But it's not.
That's not.
And they do it, like, 8 or 9 times.
Oh, okay.
We watched Asylum, which is a British horror anthology movie about some people in an asylum, and each one tells a different story.
The framing story is there's this new doctor that goes to asylum, and he has to figure out which one's was the director.
Yeah, so he can get the job.
Oh, okay.
And he goes through and he hears the story of all the different people and has to decide which one's the doctor. It was wonderfully bonkers.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that's a British horror movie thing. Do they just all get really off the wall weird?
Maybe.
Because a lot of them that we've watched on this experiment have been just bonkers. Like, Wicker Man is just nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this was kind of like that. There was a guy that was making, like, robot dolls of people.
Mm.
That, like, he could, like, put, like, his consciousness into?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually kind of neat.
And it was like, it looked like a dumb toy robot with like a
I should find a picture of it.
A sculpty head of the guy's head on top.
But it had like just like a like metal, you know, generic metal robot body.
Okay.
And it was about, you know, 6 inches tall at the most. And it kills somebody.
Okay.
It's pretty back wild.
Yeah, that was the only one of the stories I can remember off the top of my head.
Taylor that had to make a suit out of a special fabric. He could only work on it at night. It was weird.
Yeah. I don't remember the other ones.
The woman had, like, the lady friend that kept appearing.
I don't
remember. Ooh, spooky!
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
Her brother was trying to, like, get the house and the money. Don't remember that.
Vaguely. I may have been in and out of falling asleep during this, now that I think about it.
Okay.
But what I remember of it was pretty fun and weird, so that's good if you like your movies weird. I think the last one, which is the last movie we watched, was Zombie.
Okay.
And it was some Italian zombie movie that was all right.
Yeah.
The special effects and the gore effects were really good and really gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie itself was just okay.
That's usually how it goes with Italian films. The effects are excellent. The movies, eh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Also, it has a zombie fighting a shark.
Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, it does have fun. That.
Okay. That's automatically bumped it up my list of must watch.
It's pretty buck wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's a real shark.
And it's like real, like voodoo zombie style zombies.
Okay.
Not like we dump some nuclear waste on a graveyard kind of zombies.
Gotcha. Okay.
And a lady gets her eye poked out by a piece of wood. That zombie like broke through the door and she slowly pulls her into a shard of wood. And it is
it's
very gross.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, it was a pretty good one, I think.
Cool.
It's schlocky, but not in the same way that like Death Spa is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what did you guys think of your just this whole month long experiment as a whole?
Yeah. Because we did watch 31 horror movies.
You did. You went right through it. Yeah.
We did it.
Mm-hmm.
I started to get really sick of horror movies after the first 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
There's actually a pretty good variety of different kinds of horror movies.
Yeah, that's true.
We kind of discovered that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's so it's such a vast genre because you got you can get a horror comedy or like an old
bad
goofy
horror
one.
Yeah,
if you're in the mood for something funny or if you want to get scared, you can pop in like one of the more modern ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many like classic horror movies that are just fantastic, like American Werewolf in London or Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right, yeah.
It's a varied genre of films, and it's not terribly hard to go 31 days watching them.
Oh, sure. No, they're horror movies are very easy to make, and they're usually pretty easy to market to people, so there are a plethora of them in all sorts of, yeah. Now, if you do this next year, mark this on your list for next year, Slaughter High. Look up Slaughter High.
We almost watched that one.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And it's
or maybe
at
I'm thinking of Slaughter University. Either way.
Okay, Slaughter High, it's a kid in the killer is a guy in a Letterman jacket, as a real skinny kid in a Letterman jacket with a clown like jester mask on. it rides that line between, just a horror movie and that schlocky bad 80s.
Yeah.
If you want to see a movie where a bunch of British actors try valiantly and fail miserably at American accents.
Oh, no.
Slaughter
Watch
High
Doctor
is...
Doctor Strange.
Walked off. Well, hello, my name is Benedict Cumberbatch, and I am an American. No,
actually,
but,
it might not have been that I was tired of horror movies as much as it just took up so much time.
Well,
in the day.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Cause like, I want to do other things, but we have to watch this 2-hour movie. I just work 8 hours and then I come home and watch a 2-hour movie.
You have to
movie,
work for 2 more hours
yeah. and then go to bed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the horror movies that got old. It was the time it takes to watch them.
So we actually have been tossing around the idea of maybe watch some Christmas movies.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Maybe try to do, like, little videos on them.
Oh, that would be excellent. I can help you find some good Christmas movies. Santa with Muscles.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no.
Hulk. Oh, my God.
Hulk the Dirtbag Hogan.
Oh, my goodness. It is super, super good. And by that, I mean super bad. It is like Suburban Commando or Mr. Nanny level of bad. Yeah. Oh, I can find some Christmas movies for you, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because little known fact, Cody really doesn't like Christmas.
Oh, I hate Christmas. I used to like Christmas, but then you work in retail long enough and you just hate it.
Yeah, that kind of does suck the fun out of the holiday season, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. But hey, enough about that.
Also, the Christmas creep really ruined
it. Oh, the Christmas creep. We don't speak of the Christmas creep. That was an experiment. He's still down in Florida. He's the island creep. Island time creep, I think is what we called him. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've been playing the new Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How is it?
It's really good. It's a continuation of Wolfenstein, the New Order, which takes place in an alternate reality where the Nazis won World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a Man in the High Castle situation. It's really good. I mean, the first one was really good. This one continues to be really good. The story and the cutscenes are all fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. they really did a really good job writing this one and fleshing out the characters. They actually give the main character of all the Wolfenstein games, B.J. Blazkowicz,
mm-hmm.
a fleshed out backstory that's actually very interesting.
Really?
Like, excellent. You meet his parents and everything, and his dad is a huge racist jerk.
Oh, jeez. Yikes.
But the gameplay itself borderlines on really frustrating for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I stink at it, or... Well, I want to play
it... Scrub.
I want to play it like Doom. Like mm-hmm. the Doom that came out a couple of years ago, where you
sure.
rush in and just you know,
annihilate everything. Yeah.
They want you to be a little more strategic about it. And it, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, and I started playing it on medium, constantly died and got frustrated. And I've since switched it over to easy, which is just a little bit too easy. And now I feel like I'm being babied.
So
there's
okay.
no good middle ground for me, which kind of stinks. It's probably more my own problem. Because they want you to be stealthy, but there's not a whole lot of... There's not, like, a cover system or that kind of stuff.
I see.
And then sometimes they want to switch it up, like, and now it's a shooter, balls to the wall
mm-hmm.
situation. And a lot of the levels are really claustrophobic, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that story is so good that it really pulls you through it.
Okay. Well, that's good, at least. That's good.
The trailers
looked really good
yeah,
for it.
There's a point where you get to go to Nazi-occupied America and walk through a downtown
mm-hmm.
that's really interesting, and they don't spend enough time there before you're back in some underground bunker shooting guys.
I see.
It's like, I want to go back up there and, like, have an adventure game happen where I'm picking up items and using them or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, not that a Nazi-occupied America is a place that I want to be, but it's really interesting, this weird world they've created, this alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of want to explore it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they only kind of let you peek at least so far, they only really give you a peek
yeah.
at it.
Yeah.
Between dark bunkers and military installations.
Gotcha. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we get back, we'll get into a little bit of news. We're back. That was Africa by Toto, covered by the band Ninja Sex Party, off their second Under the Covers album that just came out, what, a few weeks ago, I
yeah.
think?
Yeah, and it's already charted on the Billboard charts and stuff.
That's crazy.
It was number one independent album.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. I'm a real big fan of Ninja Sex Party. I wish we can play some of their original music yeah. on the show. Can't happen. Look it up on YouTube. Just look it up. It's
Unless
fun stuff.
Unless you're a kid.
Unless you're a kid, then don't look it up. But no, if you're of legal age, look it up online.
It's funny.
It's very funny.
Dan and Brian are good dudes.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I wish is some of their covers are a little too close to the originals.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some of the stuff all kind of sounds the same after a little while.
And I thought that the video for Pour Some Sugar on Me sucked.
Yeah, like, it wasn't great.
It was exactly the thing they're normally parodying or poking fun at.
Yeah.
But there was no... They suddenly weren't.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it feels like with these covers albums, is that they're not, they've stopped being a comedy band and they're just a cover band. And, but they do good covers. And, you know, we always, if there's ever an opportunity for us to play Africa by Toto, we are going to play Africa by Toto.
Exactly.
Number one jam.
Bless those reins. All right. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. And this first one is actually from a couple weeks ago because we took last week off. I want to talk to you guys about Sophia, the world's first, like, the closest thing
nightmare
to, like, a...
machine.
Oh, yes. Oh, very much a nightmare machine. But it is, the closest thing to an autonomous robot, like an android that we have today. I'm looking up the name of the lab, and the Forbes website will not let me go to their website. So we're going to go to The Verge. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't really say in this article. Anyway, Sophia is, she's touted as a robot or an android. What it is, it's a learning AI that is, that they've attached a human-ish face
to. Human-ish is a good way to put
it. It is just close enough to human to make it super creepy.
Yeah.
And like I said, she's a learning AI, so she can respond and hold, you know, very simple conversations with people with certain inputs. And Saudi Arabia has granted her full citizenship. So she is the first non...
or as much citizenship as a woman gets in Saudi Arabia.
Well, yes. Yes. Very, very true. But like...
Yeah, they can drive now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But no, they... this is kind of unprecedented. This is the first time a non... like non-biological, non-human... being has been granted full citizenship in any country ever.
It kind of seems like maybe they're jumping the gun a little bit.
Maybe a tiny bit, but hey, when Skynet takes over in a few years and we're all being ruled over by our robot overlords, we could look back to this point.
When we're all turned into batteries, mm-hmm. into little and tubes like in the Matrix.
In the Matrix. When we all... no kung fu. No, this is really cool. I mean, the robot itself is creepy as hell, and I'm scared of it. But
oh, yeah.
The idea behind all this is very fascinating.
I think it's just a little bit early to be granting citizenship to robots. I don't think she can act as a full citizen.
She doesn't have use of her arms or legs.
Yeah.
She's just... They've given her it's
well, I mean,
basically
that doesn't make you human.
Well, no, but you know what I mean. Like, there's no saying she's a robot is not totally correct. It's basically they stuck a animatronic head on a mannequin body and ran a computer AI system through her. Basically,
she seems slightly more advanced than, say, Abraham Lincoln in the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, yeah, and her AI is based. A little bit off of Winston. Remember on Jeopardy when they had that robot that beat everybody
Watson.
At Jeopardy? Watson. That's what it is. Yeah, her AI is based at least a little bit off of that. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool story and it's a great accomplishment, but maybe citizenship is a little much.
Also, look at that face. Just look at it.
Also,
drink it in.
Is there any reason they couldn't have slapped a wig on there?
Yeah, the exposed robot brain parts. While cool, coupled with like the near human, God, she almost looks like Jennifer Lawrence.
In a weird way,
Like with weird dead eyes and a robot brain.
I love the headline on this article, pretending to give a robot citizenship helps no one.
Well, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't do anything, but it's just kind of an interesting... I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting.
What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be a citizen of a country? It asks a lot of questions.
Yeah. But hey, you know, this is eventually going to create more jobs. I mean, we're going to need Blade Runner sooner or later because of this. So.
Yeah, I'm going to get started on that now.
Yeah.
Be the first Blade Runner.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go find her.
I have to get my, what is it, the Voight-Kampff test.
That's right. yep. And I guess I need to get really good at origami.
Yeah, buy a trench coat and a flying car.
Mm-hmm.
I love those flying cars.
Those are great flying cars. So cool. Yeah, very, very good. All right, we'll go ahead and move on from there to our next major topic. This happened just a few days ago, or was announced just a few days ago, in comics. Brian Michael Bendis, who has been a mainstay at Marvel Comics, has signed an exclusivity deal with DC for the foreseeable future, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of a very big deal. Brian Michael Bendis is an excellent, excellent writer with an asterisk.
He created Jessica Jones.
He created Miles Morales. Brian Michael Bendis is an excellent writer as long as he's writing his own creations. Or something that he can have full and complete, utter control over. Like when the Ultimate Comics line started years and years ago and he had Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, that's a great, that's a fantastic run because he was allowed to kind of do whatever he wanted with young Peter Parker. Like you said, like you mentioned earlier, Jessica Jones was his creation, and a lot of what eventually influenced the Luke Cage things in the comics and things like that, and the Netflix series and everything. But he has trouble writing, like, well-established characters that he has to kind of toe the company line with a little bit.
Which is probably what he's going to have to do at DC.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that kind of makes me a little worried. Plus, don't give him magic users who have to say anything using magic words because it is just gibberish. Like, there for a while, he was writing Avengers and Doctor Strange was on the team, and it was just, it was like a cat walking across a keyboard whenever he had to... Doctor Strange had to make a spell. Like, it was just gibberish.
A lot of the DC characters have some hard and fast rules about what they say when they cast a spell, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, Zatanna says things backwards.
Backwards, that's easy. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Raven has a line that she says.
Asimov.
Metrion Xenthos.
Yeah. I mean, Etrigan, the demon, just rhymes.
Yeah, he has to speak in rhyme.
Yeah. He has to speak in rhymes all of the times.
Oh, no.
But no, this is really cool. This is really cool. I'm just interested to see where they end up sticking him, on what book. It's got to be, I bet it's going to be, it's like Superman.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the big ones.
It's not going to be Batman because Scott Snyder's been knocking it out of the park with that. And I don't think they would take him off of that anytime soon. Unless this is who they're going to swap in for Scott Snyder. I don't know. But right now they have Scott Snyder over there. They have Jeff Johns, who is still doing some writing here and there.
He retired.
No, Jeff Johns, he's a chief creative officer. So he's kind of in charge of the TV series for DC Entertainment.
That's right.
But he does writing every once in a great while. Ah, gosh, I can't remember who
recently retired. Oh, well.
Yeah. And they have Tom King. Tom King is... He's kind of really popped up in the last couple of years, but he is just a phenomenal writer. Also, former CIA, which is really interesting. Huh. Yeah. Like, he was used to be like, and like the Black Ops CIA, like the stuff he can't talk about CIA, which is really cool.
When you're done and want to go back into to civilian society, they're just kind of like, well, what do you want to do?
I want to write comics.
And they're like, okay, we'll make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Although Tom King didn't have an exclusivity deal, he actually wrote that really amazing The Vision series that was released a few years ago, which was super good. And I recommend everybody look it up. It's probably on Comixology at this point, so you can get it for cheap. I don't know what else to talk about with this. It's just really cool news and worth mentioning.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, there hasn't been a ton.
Interesting to see what happens.
The only tweet that I saw that was really funny was Bendis tweeted one saying, you know, hey, I'm really happy and excited to be part of the DC Comics family. You know, it's, you know, such a long history of comics and creators and everything. And the second tweet was, now which one is Clark again? And that's pretty good. That's pretty funny.
Is that a hint that he's going to be writing Superman?
And who knows? Maybe.
That now I'm working for the Nerdist.
Yeah.
Is Brian Michael Bendis' latest tweet a hint at what he's going to be writing at DC Comics?
Here's 1,000 words saying maybe. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. What do we have for our next topic?
Remember Pokemon Go?
Of course.
What if it was Harry Potter?
Great!
Because that's the thing that's happening.
Super great.
Which I was initially excited about. Sounds cool. Mm-hmm. You know, Warner Brothers said, hey, let's do it. And then I saw it was Niantic, the developers of Pokemon Go, developing it.
Yeah.
And then I am immediately skeptical.
Well, it'll be great a month after the game's released when no one's playing it anymore.
And it'll be great for about 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and then they won't make anything new or do anything to support it.
I can't wait to stand outside in my local cemetery and catch Harry Potters and Pokeballs.
Yeah.
I get to throw the golden snitch at Harry Potter and hope that...
I hope they learn what they messed up with Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they would, but judging by the Pokemon Fest last summer...
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
I'm not convinced Niantic can do anything without royally screwing it up. I mean, their intentions are good and pure.
Yes.
But every time they just like either underestimate how much people like their game or are just completely incompetent.
Now, how many Tom Riddles do I need to grind up into candies in order to evolve him into Voldemort?
Like, how is this even going to... I don't understand how this is going
to
work.
Like, I don't either. Unless they're taking it in a Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them slant, and you have to capture the Fantastic Beasts.
Even then, there's not that many Fantastic Beasts, I don't think.
How do you know?
I guess I haven't actually looked at the book.
Yeah.
He had a lot of beasts in his little briefcase.
He did, in his TARDIS briefcase. I love that movie. I always say I love that movie whenever we talk about it. I don't know. I mean, I'll be curious to try it, but I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
I'd like to see Niantic succeed and do something good, but they haven't shown that they could do that.
Yeah.
With Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you see for Halloween you get a Mimikyu hat?
I got the Mimikyu hat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I fired it up long enough to get that, catch a couple of Pokemans, and then close the app and haven't looked at it since.
Yep, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Although, no, take that back. I actually spent an afternoon walking around Columbus. Walked from coffee shop to coffee shop getting Pokemans. It's actually a pretty good time.
Cool. It works really good in a city.
Mm-hmm.
Not anywhere else, though.
Yeah. Especially since they dropped a lot of the stops here in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are gone. Like, I used to bike around the Marion Cemetery, and none of them are there anymore. So,
People have to behave like animals, which is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, a bunch of savages.
I feel like I'm being too negative today.
Cheer up.
Yeah.
Harry Potter Go. I hope they don't call it that. Yeah, they don't have a name for it, but let's hope it's not called that. Harry Potter and the barely functioning mobile AR experience. Harry Potter and the tremendous letdown.
Hello there, Harry Potter.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
It's me, Dumbledore.
You're a digital wizard, Harry.
Oi!
He's a snipe.
Hurry, Harry, throw your snitch at the... I'm losing this entirely.
Yeah.
Let's stop now while we're ahead.
Yeah, while we're behind. Yeah, yeah. All right. So next up, this is the last of the really, really big news that we got to talk about. Apparently, and there was just like one little mini news blurb, and that's all they've said about it. But apparently, Disney is in the process or in talks with acquiring many, if not all, of the 20th Century Fox or 21st Century Fox, I guess, film properties, film and television properties. This raises a lot of questions and concerns about the idea of mega corporations becoming bigger and how Disney is kind of
monopolizing.
And they have kind of a nasty track record for like bullying their way through, like, you know,
mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah. And just the film industry in general. Cause I actually heard a thing where they're, for the next Star Wars movie, they are they have like a special thing, like a release clause.
Oh, where, yeah. I read this too.
Yeah. It's like they're requiring theaters to have longer runs and preferred times for the Star Wars movie over all other films in order to receive a print of the film, which is great for like huge mega theaters, but like a little mom and pop stuff like the Strand down in Delaware.
Yeah.
Like it, I mean,
yeah, now you got to play Star Wars for 3 months.
Yeah. Well, think of Studio 35. They have one screen.
Yeah.
And they usually get like one big first run movie. They run it for a couple of weeks and then they move on. What are they going to do with Star Wars? They can't run that for 3 months solid.
Yeah.
Everyone will lose interest eventually. I mean, believe it or not, there are a finite amount of people who are interested in Star Wars in the world. There's a lot. But there's a finite amount.
And usually, once they've seen it one time, they don't go back again.
Yeah.
Usually.
Usually. I mean, I'm an idiot who will see it a couple times, but, you know, I'm a super fan. but no, it's, yeah, Disney, they kind of have a track record for not being super cool with that kind of stuff and just getting bigger and having more, you know, clout in the film industry is, I don't know, kind of skeevy a little.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that is seriously getting up to monopoly levels when you've already bought out Lucasfilm and then you're coming for 21st
and Marvel.
Fox.
Yeah.
And Marvel.
Yeah. The one thing that, like, I see it as a positive with this, and this is just me being the super nerd that I am, it means that one, Star Wars will be 100% owned by Disney, be under one house, because distribution rights is actually through 20th century.
For the original film.
Because of the original films. And a lot of the, basically the X-Men would be back under the Marvel Studios umbrella.
And then we could get a fantastic X-Men versus the Avengers movie.
Yes. Yep. We can. Well, we'd probably get an X-Men total reboot with a whole new cast. And the Marvel Studios can finally stop talking about the Inhumans.
What all properties would this, besides those, would it affect?
See, that's the thing. It wouldn't affect too many others because...
Oh, Deadpool would be Disney. Oh.
Deadpool Disney, would be Disney now.
Disney's Deadpool?
But they
I
would,
don't know about that.
They would throw him under, like, one of their subsidiary things and...
Not a Miramax.
As much... Yeah, not a Miramax. But they would, like... Well, Miramax isn't around. That's the Weinstein Company.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
definitely wouldn't do that. Oh, no. That wouldn't happen. No, they... I don't believe they would screw with Deadpool too much because Deadpool made a ton of money.
That's true.
And I mean, they're able to put like they're pushing the envelope a little bit with the Marvel movies. A little like Ant-Man had some stuff in it that maybe wasn't necessarily 100% family friendly, but it wouldn't really affect too many other properties, from what I understand, because some of the other ones that Fox owned at the time.
Don't they own Alien?
Hmm?
Don't they own Alien?
Well, yeah, they own Alien, yeah. But specifically Marvel stuff. They had. Daredevil, which reverted. They had Punisher, which reverted. They had the Ghost Rider, which...
Who cares?
Partially reverted because it they were able to use a Ghost Rider for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., just not the Nicolas Cage one. There's like a couple others. They wouldn't get the good ones. They wouldn't get Fantastic Four and all of those characters.
Really? I thought they would get Fantastic
Sony.
Four.
Oh. That's Sony.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and they wouldn't get full control over Spider-Man because that's Sony. So those are the really big ones. But they would get, like, all of the X-Men and any X-Men-related characters that they can use.
It's worth it for the X-Men. The X-
to be able to say mutant
in a
Marvel film, that would be worth it. Yeah, but is it worth the monopoly that Disney's creating over this? I don't know. I mean, I like my X-Men, but I don't know.
Like, on one hand, I would love mutants and the X-Men to be a part of the MCU,
mm-hmm.
but I also like the fact that there's Marvel movies out there that aren't part of the MCU machine.
The giant thing.
Yeah,
because
that cranks out really samey movies all the time.
They're all variations on the same film, aren't they?
Yeah.
They really kind of are.
I mean, it's a good film that
yeah.
they're making variations on, but...
Yeah. And they're starting to get a little bit further away from that. I mean, Doctor Strange was kind of weird, and Ant-Man, for what it was a little bit outside of the box a little bit. And from what I understand, Thor is, and Guardians of the Galaxy are kind of stretching that a little bit further out, but still kind of have that core same story.
Yeah, the same story beats. And
yeah. But
I don't know. I don't want to dog. I mean, they're great movies.
They're great, yeah.
I go see them every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, this would also affect, yeah, it would affect the Alien movies, the Alien franchise, which would mean Prometheus and all that other stuff, which at this point, get it away from Ridley Scott. Just
would they get Blade Runner?
Would they get Blade Runner? I don't think they'd get Blade Runner. I don't think that's Fox. You know what, listener, if we're wrong, email us, staff@nerdoverload.com. You know what, this is the one time I'm asking you, correct me. Send me an email. Put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdoverloadnow.
Maybe Ridley Scott has some of the rights to Blade Runner.
I think he does. But, like, you know, let us know. Let us know where we're wrong on this one particular comic. I don't care about whether I'm wrong anywhere else. I could be wrong. I don't care. But this one topic, let me know. Correct me. So we have a couple of quick hits here before we get out of here. Let's just go right down the list. We can burn through these in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
The Batman Brave and the Bold Scooby-Doo animated movie.
Looks like a great time.
Super great. Yeah. Again, a case of striking while the iron is cold in this case. It looks great, but Brave and the Bold has been kind of...
It's been canceled for about 5 years
probably. Yeah.
And but Scooby-Doo's definitely cooled off in recent...
Mm-hmm.
But put them together and you get a very fun-looking animated movie that I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and Batman creates his own mystery gang out of DC characters, which is super great, including The Question with your favorite actor...
Jeffrey Combs as The Question. Yeah. I love The Question, too. I love that character.
He's a great character.
He's very much superhero Fox Mulder.
Definitely. That is it, 100%. But no, that looks really good. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Next up, The New Warriors, which it was a TV series that was supposed to be done by Freeform.
It's the one with Squirrel Girl.
That's the one with Squirrel Girl, yeah. With, God, who was playing her?
The AT&T girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know her name. It's Milana Vantrub. That's her name. She's hilarious. But Freeform dropped the show, so it's currently without a network. What that means for the show, I don't know. Maybe it'll get picked up by, like, Hulu or something, because that's where
Runaways is.
And it was kind of part of that same kind of bubble, I guess.
Somebody would be crazy not to pick up a superhero TV show like that.
Especially with the name Marvel attached to it.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy, so it's more comedy than action show. Actually, I think it's like 100% comedy. So, yeah, it'll get picked up somewhere. It's just right now not on Freeform, which is good because I don't think it would die on that station. I just kind of have a feeling.
I forget what Freeform is already.
It's ABC Family.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's gone through so many name changes.
So many of them. Yeah.
As bad as The Hub.
Yeah, God, The Hub.
Which doesn't exist anymore. It's like Discovery Family now.
Something like that. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. Next up, they cast a Shazam, Captain Marvel. Not the cool one from Marvel. The one who's actually a kid from DC.
The one that was really famous in the 50s.
Yeah. The one who was actually more famous, more popular than Superman at one point until... Wiz Comics was sued by DC Comics for infringing on their character. That's what killed Captain Marvel.
Even though he's quite different than Superman in a variety of ways.
The original stories were very similar.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. Like 1940s and 50s Superman and 1950s Captain Marvel are nearly indistinguishable. Yeah. He was cast. Zachary Levi he played Chuck on TV's Chuck. Remember Chuck?
Chuck from TV's Chuck?
Yeah, it's Chuck, you guys. What else has Zachary Levi done outside of Chuck?
I don't know.
Tangled?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually did a good job in that.
He's Tangled's boyfriend.
Yeah, in Tangled.
Which is a TV show right now, which isn't bad.
No, it's not terrible.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't see it.
No.
Then again, anyone can put on a bunch of muscles.
Yeah.
Look at pre-Thor Chris Hemsworth. Look at the first Star Trek reboot movie. You know, Thor's in that? He's Kirk's dad?
Oh, that's right.
And he's like this big around. You can't see the gesture I'm making, but it's tiny. So, I mean, he could put on a bunch of muscle and weight.
Or they could put him in one of those foam muscle suits.
They could put him in some of those muscle suits.
For Halloween.
Absolutely. I was kind of banking on John Cena being Shazam.
That would have been awesome.
Only because The Rock is already Black Adam, and we could have had, like, a third act wrestling match between Shazam and The Rock. And
it would have been awesome and fun. A fun movie.
Yeah, it would have been really fun.
It sounds dumb.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
So, and no one could see him when he was on screen.
That's probably the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Although, you know, he is a major supporting character in both Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2. I guess John Cena is, like, in those a lot.
Wow.
He is, like, the secret third dad.
I thought Daddy's Home 1 looked kind of funny, but 2 looks like a garbage heap from the trailer I saw at the movie.
You know, I said the same thing about Meet the Fockers, the sequel to Meet the Parents.
That's not bad.
And Meet the Fockers was really funny. I actually kind of like that one a little better because it's not as super cringe-inducing.
I just wish that Mel Gibson wasn't.
Yes, that's the major that's the major issue. I like John Lithgow as Will Ferrell's dad. That fits perfectly. And I guess Mel Gibson fits as Marky Mark's dad. I just wish it wasn't Mel Gibson. Okay.
And it just looks like a whole pile of gendered jokes. It's just like, that's not what a man does.
Yeah, okay. I just don't.
Yeah, like, okay.
Yeah.
That's your whole movie.
Not great.
Yeah.
All right. And
I just want to say, rest in peace, Miiverse.
Yeah, let's talk about,
Nintendo's social media message board for the Wii U and 3DS is officially shut down.
What a weird, what a weird place of the internet that was.
On one hand, I want to say nothing of value was lost because it was a bizarre message board for children that but I enjoyed seeing what kind of weird off-the-wall content was coming from there.
Oh, yeah. It was just the craziest stuff.
And it was cool to see neat fan art every time you turned on your Wii U. I think that was a cool feature.
That was really cool, especially when they started integrating it into Splatoon, the first one, and like that one stage in Smash Brothers. That was really cool.
Which now is not going to work anymore.
It's not going to work, Well, maybe they archive some of those.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe. It won't matter when the port of Smash Brothers comes out that's going to come out, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we joke, but they did just add support for the multi-tap for the GameCube controllers.
To the Switch,
The Switch. So they're setting it up.
Yeah, they said it was an accident.
No,
so
it's
They added those features to support more third-party controllers, and it was just a coincidence.
Of course.
That it happened.
Of course it was. Yeah. All right. And last one, Cody.
There's a new Overwatch hero named Moira, who looks really cool. She's the evil support character.
Oh, cool.
So now the evil characters, Talon, have a healer they could that fits in with them story-wise.
Very cool.
It doesn't matter in the game.
Well, it's just a character. But
she looks cool. She's got, one hurt laser and one heal laser in each hand. And she's like an evil Irish geneticist lady.
It looks kind of like David Bowie.
Yeah,
better. That's excellent.
It looks cool. It'll be fun to check it out.
Oh, very cool.
I'll turn on Overwatch and play a couple matches and then put it away.
Get mad.
Yeah.
Get mad, not think about it till the next character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a post somebody made that said Overwatch is just professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Because they're over-the-top, ridiculous characters with really big personalities. The story has little to do with the actual fighting that happens, and none of the backstory makes sense.
That's an apt comparison,
actually.
Yeah, it
doesn't fit together.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is.
I agree. I mean, I have no argument there. That makes sense to me.
But there's no release date on her or anything. She's not out now or anything.
Oh, she's not?
Sometime soon.
Okay.
That was the big BlizzCon reveal, because BlizzCon was last week or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
They also showed a new map that was like a theme. It was like Disney World for Blizzard.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty fun. I mean, there's like a Hearthstone area and an arcade based on Heroes of the Storm. It's pretty fun, cool stuff.
Oh, that's
there's
cool.
also skins to go with it.
Oh, very nice. All right, well, hey, it looks like we're at time, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
Yeah, Josh isn't here. It throws off the whole thing.
It does.
You can get a hold of us on all social medias at Nerd Overload now. We're talking your Twitters. We're talking your Facebooks.
And your Twitches.
And your Twitches.
Not your YouTubes.
No.
Unfortunately.
Because
we're working on it.
We need more subscribers. So subscribe to Nerd Overload TV on the YouTube so we can change the name.
That would be great. I would much appreciate it.
Also, so you can see some great content.
We also have content there. Yeah.
And the
Soon
podcast
to have more
is up there.
Content. Yeah.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com with any rants,
corrections,
Or you can just be nice.
Corrections.
Yeah, you can be nice to us. Yeah. That'd be nice, too. We'll take some nice. That's good.
Don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Word of mouth is what gets people to listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. So tell your friends about the...
Yeah, just because you're listening to it, don't assume everyone else is.
Definitely.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
Yeah. And we are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can find us over there. And all of our back episodes are back there as well.
And there's a lot of them.
There are quite a few. 160. This is 167.
Wow.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it's crazy. I can't believe we've made it this many, honestly. So, yeah, I think that's it. So, again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.